XRT.
When?
Today.
Okay. What, I have no idea that we have plans today.
You go, but you're gonna be here by Susie and David coming up.
I knew that.
Yeah, and I just figured you don't have a lot of time between services, so we're just gonna wait until we get there. We'll start with like a crush over whatever, and still do your thing.
Okay.
Just say hi, gotta go, bye.
Okay, thank you. Good morning.
Mark, are you flying out of Gainesville?
Yeah.
I have one over here.
Yeah, Gainesville's sort of landed to Seattle.
Yes.
No, it's really a good one.
Seattle.
I don't know how long it'll last. It's really nice.
I guess I'm leaving Floridian and coming back here.
Those two are both okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Hopefully you won't hit cancellations and delays and.
He thinks that he's gonna fly on the 4th, which is probably the smart day.
I think I'm going to. I better be, since I paid for the ticket on the 4th. That's what. Yeah, I'm.
I mean, you don't get any benefits if they say it's the weather. So don't let them trick you. If it's sunshine, you go like, sun. Beautiful day.
I'm more concerned about the flight coming back than I'm going out. So that's next Monday. And American is not as reliable as Delta. And their customer service traditionally is nowhere near what Delta is.
The last time I flew was behind her.
Delta is the by far heads above this house in the airline, so when I have cancellations, I have other flights to open.
Yeah, come back and sit.
It's easier to get that. American, I've had flights canceled, and it was a day or two. I lost a plane on my first trip to Guyana.
No, it had to be the side, not me. How you doing, girlfriend?
Lost a plane. Taxiing out to pay off. The computer.
Real kind.
Yeah.
And they had to tow it back. And it was in Miami, which is a major hub for America. Headquarters is out of Dallas, California. Miami's the main hub. Dallas, Florida, Southeast. And permanent 2 day, 8 or 9 hours to locate
for a life practice.
And then get a certain.
Yeah.
Maybe because they're just too heavy.
When do you want to put this tomorrow?
I gotta be at the airport at 9. Susie and Dave will be on the 7.
Yeah, I gotta leave my get back.
Yeah, but my transmission issues, I haven't been able to finish up. My car transmission. And you. And it won't get in until this week. And maybe the week I get back to my truck. The other day, last week, I went to leave, pulled out the driveway, and everyone was in front of us. And the seats were all in, turned and pulled back in the driveway, all the way across. Not good.
Yeah.
Not good at all.
Sometimes I'll do it with Susie and figure out the we can't figure that out.
I understand. So it's got the box plate on the back, but it doesn't have the hooks.
I'll probably just pop the box plate.
You just need it. It'll give you some balance.
That's
what I like to know about it. Because,
it helps out.
Because the track is wider than you think it is.
And I learned you got to cut it in 6 to 8 foot lengths.
Yes.
And depending on what type of width you get up to.
Well, I've been cutting it where I've got about 6 inches of cedar in the bucket.
Yep.
So I can just roll it up and then you put 6 flat inside the bucket. And you put 2 of those in there. And if it's a decent size, I mean, the tractor struggles to get me out. You know, those hydraulics are limited. But then it's not designed. It's not an industrial piece of equipment, but yeah, it is. It's very motion. It does a great job.
Where is it? Or go down and go down front and repent.
For the sake of the recording, today is July the 3rd, and we are talking about by faith from Hebrews chapter 11. That way whoever is editing this can figure out where they're supposed to put the edited video. We seem to have been having some problem with that, so I'm trying to correct that. We have been engaged since last July in a study in the book of Hebrews.
Yes, we have.
And this crowd is wearied from it, obviously.
We keep coming back, though.
Yeah. Well, I can't tell if it's because you really enjoy the class or you just feel like you got nowhere else to go. Not really sure. But we're blessed to have you all here today. As we move forward, I want to take care of a couple of housekeeping things. I'm leaving tomorrow to go back to Washington for a week and speaking on our lectureship there. I will be flying back on the 11th, and David Mountford is taking care of my Wednesday night Psalms class. He'll be dealing with Psalm 23, and Brett Dampier is going to be taking care of this class for us next Sunday. And as we've been going through the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, he will begin our study of David. So I have given him some helpful notes, and between that and his own study, it should prove to be a very fruitful class, and I hope that you'll give your undivided attention to he and those who are in our class on Psalms, to David as well. Appreciate your support of this class. We're going to start our prayer list here, and on top of the prayer list, there's a pen that fell out, and this it has a sign-up sheet for the ladies, or excuse me, for the widows' breakfast that is being done by some of our ladies here at church. And to clarify, this is a ladies' event, so widowers need not apply. We'll do something special for them at another point in time. Maybe we'll find some eligible ladies from the widow class to take care of them. Christine. But anyway, here's the prayer list is right underneath the sign-up sheet. If you've already signed up, you can just move along with the sign-up sheet. Would you be willing, Mike, to take care of our prayer list at the end of class? So we'll get the clipboard around to Mike, and that would be very helpful. But thank you all for being here. It is a holiday weekend, and I know a lot of people make a lot of plans. You know, we're traveling or visiting and doing those kinds of things, but I appreciate your attention this morning. Now, in Hebrews, we have a letter, or as some people believe, a sermon that has been written down, that is written to a group of Jewish believers who, because of some form of persecution, discouragement, something, were turning back and going into Judaism. This is in the mid to late 60s, so it's just prior to the fall of Jerusalem. They're going back into a system that is getting ready to be totally wiped out when the Romans take over and wipe out Jerusalem. The temple's going to be gone. There's not going to be any more priesthood. There are not going to be any more sacrifices. Nothing, none of that is going to exist anymore, and still does not exist to this day. Matter of fact, God in his providence saw fit to put a Muslim mosque on top of the Temple Mount, and you know what would happen if the Jews decided to go knock it down and try to rebuild the temple. You'd have about 1 billion Muslims descending on the small country of Israel, and it would be a mess. So God, who has used pagan individuals and other folks throughout history to carry out his purpose, has found a way to keep that which has vanished away from coming back. It's pretty impressive. But then again, that's God, right? So we have been working our way through this basic apology, a defense of Christianity, and how Judaism and all the ceremonial and other things were pointing us to the coming of Christ, pointing us to the church that would be established, and that Judaism was never intended to be a permanent thing. It was a temporary thing, a stepping stone, as it were, on the way to Christ and the fulfillment of those things that God had intended. When we get to the end of chapter 10, we see a quote from Habakkuk, and there's a lot of quotes from the Old Testament. Of the 306 or so verses in the book of Hebrews, over 50 are quotes from the Old Testament. So what you're dealing with is 1 in 6 verses is a quote from the Old Testament, showing that it is an inspired commentary on the Old Testament, bringing these things to the forefront, showing us what they meant and how they pointed us to what we have in Christ. Well, here in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, we have the verse, "The just shall live by faith." So we ask the question, how shall the just live? By faith. What is the key phrase in chapter 11? By faith. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch walked with God. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, prepared an ark for the saving of his family. By faith, Abraham, when called, went out from his home country. By faith, Sarah received strength to bear a child. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, Rahab. We've gone through a lot of by faith statements. And now last week, we looked at a verse that has six individuals in it that kind of packs a lot in. And we talked about Gideon. We want to revisit, not Gideon, but that list of six, because we're going to cover three of those over the next short little bit. Now we'll cover all six, and then we're going to move our way through the completion of the book of Hebrews. So as we begin our study, would you please pray with me? Holy Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day. We thank you that you have honored us with your presence. You've honored us with the gift of your Son. You've honored us, Father, with your Spirit and your Spirit-inspired Word. We appreciate the guidance and instruction, the correction and encouragement that we receive from your Word. And as we study from it today, we ask for your blessings to be upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, 32 through 34. And what more shall we say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And he continues to go through talking about some different generic things that took place during Old Testament times, where the Old Testament saints, named and unnamed, by faith, accomplished things for the sake of God. Now, there's been a lot of misinformation that has been shared through the years. A lot of misinformation. And it comes from our misunderstanding of Scripture many times. Or imagining things in ways that don't match up with what the Bible is teaching us. Now, for instance, last week we talked about Gideon. And that information comes to us that, you know, the 300, because of the way they drank water, they were the most alert and they were ready and they were prepared. But yet the Scripture tells us God isn't going to get the glory if you've got all of these men. And they whittled it down. And you recall last week I made a big mess on the floor here.
Yeah.
Okay. How did I make a big mess on the floor? I took my water bottle and I poured water into my hands and I lapped it like a dog. People do not drink water like a dog. You don't lap it with your tongue. These 300 were probably not the brightest guys in the bunch. And God used them not to fight, but to secure the victory. And who got credit for the victory? God did. Not the 300 mighty men who were so alert. You know, if drinking water like that made you alert and made you a great fighter, they would be teaching that to our Navy SEALs. They don't teach our Navy SEALs to lap water like a dog. Okay? So Gideon is told to go from 30,000 all the way down to 300, and he goes, okay, I can use these 300. And God brings forth the victory with pitchers, torches, and trumpets. No swords. He calls confusion. He calls them to turn their swords on each other. So when we look at our Old Testament stories, these narratives of historical events, we've got to look at them with fresh eyes. We need to quit thinking about everything that we've always thought about and think about what the text is actually saying to us. That's the key. Now, we have relegated our Old Testament saints, and I have pointed this out on a number of occasions. We've relegated Noah to a children's story or something that we talk about at Vacation Bible School. That's a grown-up story, folks. When God kills everybody on earth except for this one family, And this one family had family members who were outside the ark. And they knew they were outside the ark. And they had to sit inside there. You know, there had to be weeping and there had to be all kinds of dismay with the family of Noah inside the ark, knowing that they had brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, grandchildren, whoever it was, outside the ark.
That's why God had to close the ark.
God had to close the door.
That's why he closed the door.
Mm-hmm. He sealed them up inside of it. And if it had been up to Noah, Noah would have been, okay, we're waiting for one more. You know, and that's not how it works. God did that for a purpose. Today we're going to talk about Samson. Now, what do we know about Samson?
Strength.
What do you think Samson looked like?
Tall and broad shoulder.
Okay.
Long hair.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, that type of guy, right? Long flowing hair, yeah? All right, let's look at some things here this morning. Judges chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Was Samson a good guy? He thought he was shrewd, but he was only fooling himself, wasn't he? Let me talk to you for just a second. We've talked about Abraham and Noah and Enoch and Joseph and all these people. And what's the one conclusion we've drawn with all of them? Are they super saints?
No.
No? What are they?
Human.
They're human beings who availed themselves to the power of God. They're no different than us. No different. That's important to remember, because what otherwise we end up in a spiritual self-esteem quagmire where we're like, I can't be as good as Abraham. I can't be like him or her. And we say, you know, and we use that as an excuse to not be all that we can be for God. But Abraham lied to Pharaoh about who his wife was, because he thought that Pharaoh was going to kill him because his wife was beautiful. Where's your trust in God, Abraham? Well, he wasn't quite there yet, was he? He struggled, and it was a walk of growth in his life. Now, he's post 75 years old at this point. He's not 23 and a newlywed. He's already been called to go out of his country. But he reaches the point in Genesis chapter 22 where he takes his only son, the only child of Sarah, and they go and he sacrifices Isaac and is stopped at the very last second by God. Now, there's a difference between lying because you're afraid for your own neck and then taking your only son and sacrificing him. What does the Hebrew writer tell us about Abraham in that moment? He believed, he concluded that God was going to raise him from the dead. And so he had determined he's going to kill him because God told me to. Now that's where he got to. Did he start there? No. Samson, if you read the story of Samson, how in the world do you get a by faith and show this guy in chapter 11 of Hebrews? How does he make the hall of faith? Well, let's look and see. 13, 1 and 2. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, so his tribe of Dan, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. We see in verse 8 that he prays to God for a child, and he's told that he's going to receive a child. Down in 24 and 25 of the same chapter. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Manaah Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. All right. Now, in chapters 15, verse 20, and 16, verse 31, we are told that Samson judged Israel for 20 years. Now, can you imagine, just back up for a moment. You're God. I know we can't get in the mind of God, but we're going to try it for just a second. You're God. All right, I want this guy right here. He's going to be my judge. Manoah and his wife have prayed. They want a child. He's going to be a Nazarite, so no razors shall come to his hair, no alcohol, and all the different things that are related to that. Here he is. And the next thing you know, he's a womanizer. And he's got a bad temper. And God's sitting up there, I picked this guy? Did God know what he was going to turn out to be? Of course he did. He wouldn't be God if he didn't know those things. Right? But in our mind, it's like, why didn't he fix that? Because God isn't going to violate the free will of Samson, but he's also teaching a lot of people a lot of different lessons along the way. Including us. He had a number of feats of strength. 14 verse 6, he killed a lion with his bare hands. In 14:19, he kills 30 men. In 15:14, he was bound and he broke the bonds and he took the jawbone of a donkey and he killed 1,000 men. 1,000. And then there's this young lady by the name of Delilah. Now she was a charmer. She was something else. Now here's this womanizer, and he falls for this lady. Here's Delilah.
She's not a lady.
Yeah, use the term loosely. Yeah. 16 and verse 5. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said, entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Okay, so she wasn't just any lady. She was working for the highest bidder. Okay? Now, he tells her, well, if you use this binding method, or if you use new ropes, or if you braid my hair, and each time they come upon him, and he breaks free, and he runs them off and kills them and defeats them. And so she plays the passive-aggressive, poor, pitiful me. You just don't really love me. If you really love me, you would tell me where your strength is. And what does he do? Okay. And he tells her, you cut my hair, I'll be the same as any man. Verse 17. No razor has ever come upon my head. I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. 19. And she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. This isn't the first time she said that to him. Love is blind, right? So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. The Lord had departed from him. His fate, what was his fate? His fate was to become a servant of the very ones that God had raised him up to defeat. Now, why do we toy with the things, the good things from God that he's given us? Why do we play with fire? Because this isn't just a Samson thing. This isn't just a New Testament, first century thing that they were being told about. You know, when he says, and what more shall we say about Samson? You know, all of those Jewish people who had grown up and become Christians, they knew the story inside and out. We don't talk about it a lot as adults because we put it in our third grade class and we're done teaching about Samson. Why do we play with fire? part of our human nature. We think we can do this, and we keep walking up to that line a little bit more and a little bit more and get closer and closer to it. But you know, when you play with fire, what does the saying say? You're going to get burned. He got burned bad. He got burned very badly. Not only did he get burned, but the Lord departed from him. It doesn't say the Lord was disappointed in him. It doesn't say that the Lord disciplined him. It says the Lord departed from him. That ought to be a warning to us, don't you think?
He started believing his own hype.
Sure he did. Yeah, he was so caught up in himself. This guy had an ego the size of Texas. I mean, unbelievable. He believed everything about himself, and he wasn't trusting in God, which is where all of his strength came from in the first place.
Well, when she cut his hair, that broke his vow.
Yeah, sure did. The vow was thrust upon him. It wasn't his vow, but it became his vow from his parents. That's right. And when he broke his vow, it wasn't God who departed. It was Samson who departed from God, in essence.
And that in itself is that's a troubling scripture, because a lot of times, you know, I see God as a constant, and it's us who decides to either move closer or further away. So when you read in the scripture that God departed from him, that's heavy.
Yes. It's very heavy. And how was God ruling his people during this time? He didn't have kings. He had judges. He wanted to be the king over his people. But whenever they disobeyed, and he would send the Philistines in to discipline them, and they would repent and ask for God's help, and he'd raise up a judge. So in essence, Samson was the human king. He was the one in charge of Israel. And he's playing this horrible game. Verse 25. So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may perform for us. He performed for them, and they would mock him and revile him and jeer at him. And you remember the old Westerns? And the one guy that everybody bullied, and they bring him in, and everybody get their fill of whiskey or beer or whatever, and they start shooting at his feet and go, dance, dance. You know, and they make the guy, you know, do whatever, be their little jester. That's what they were doing to Samson. They were taking advantage of him. Now, he had done a lot of damage to them for a long period of time, and they were going to enjoy this as long as they could. 26 through 31. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. And Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on the right and the other on the left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all of his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that were killed at his death were more than he had killed with his life. And his brothers and his father's household came down, took him, and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. Now, don't lose track of verse 22. The hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. When we are told that by faith, Samson, in chapter 11, there had to be a come to Jesus meeting with Samson at some point. There had to be a point where he looked to God and said, okay, I'm going to reacquire my vow. I'm going to turn myself back over to you. And his hair began to grow. Now, I will tell you that his hair had zero to do with his strength. His strength came from God. But when he broke his vow, that strength left him. So when he reacquires his vow and his hair starts growing again, God returns to him to return strength to him. And at some point in time, they began to use Samson to perform feats of strength as a part of their entertainment. We don't know how long he had been with them before that would take place. Now, I want to talk with you for just a couple of minutes, because I mentioned at the beginning that things aren't always what they seem. I asked you, what did Samson look like? Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, when he was Mr. Universe with long hair, that kind of guy. Okay, when you saw Arnold Schwarzenegger, and go back and Google for those who only know him now as a 70-year-old actor who's still in pretty good shape. Go back and Google him back when he was in his 20s, fresh out of Austria. He was Mr. Universe. He had biceps bigger than your legs. Okay. If you looked at him, would you ask, where does your strength come from when you saw him pick up a weight? Why? Why would you not ask that? Because it's obvious the guy is a muscle from his ears to his feet. Why do the Philistines and Delilah over and over again ask him where his strength comes from? If he looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Was not obvious.
It was not obvious. He probably was very plain looking. He probably didn't look like a strong person. You see, think about what the Bible says, not what we've been conditioned to think it says. Why would everybody be asking where the guy's strength comes from? Yeah, go over here to UF and go in the locker room while the football team's working out. Last week we had a defensive end who visited with us from Austin, Texas, and he was here. The kid's about 6'5", about 285 pounds. I'm sitting there looking at this wall of a man standing here next to me, and you don't have to ask where his strength comes from. The guy's got the genetics. And he's worked on it. You know, he's worked in speed and flexibility and strength training and all the things he has to do in order to be able to be the best defensive end he can possibly be. You don't look at the guy on Saturday when he's playing against Georgia and he's knocking a guy over going, wow, where does he get all of his strength? You know where he gets his strength. Why is everybody asking about Samson? Because he didn't look any different than anybody else did. Think about that. I mean, if this guy was a big steroid-using looking guy, they wouldn't be asking where strength came from. They would know. His appearance was deceptive, and his strength was derived from an invisible source. That's why it blew everybody's minds that he was able to do what he did. Because there was no visible source for his strength. You wouldn't look at a guy with long hair and say, oh, wow, that guy's strong. He's got long hair. He's like Samson. You know, if the strength was actually in the hair, what about all these guys with long hair? Right? Wouldn't they be the strongest men on the planet? You ever seen the Strongest Man contest? Some of those things on ESPN and other things? There's these guys. If you ever get to watch it, you probably don't want to watch all of it because it can be kind of boring. These guys, I'm telling you, they have no necks. Their shoulders come from the earlobes and go straight out. They have to pick up cars. And they have a car body, and they have a frame inside of it, and two rods connecting the frame, and they have to pick up the car and they have to walk from like 100 yards with a car, okay? And it's timed. And whoever does it the fastest, they get the most points from it.
Well, what is a Nazirite then? Because he said he was set apart. Wouldn't that be other Nazirites in the same time period?
Sure.
So would they have been strong?
No, they wouldn't have been.
So that was just like a tribe?
No, the Nazarite was a vow that they took.
A vow.
Uh-huh. And it was a vow where they would be set apart to the service of God. And the sign of that was the fact they never cut their hair, and there was a very strict diet and those types of things.
So there were other men walking around.
Absolutely, there were.
And they were considered special.
Yes.
At this time.
Yeah.
But so he was.
But the Philistines weren't out there trying to get them.
Right.
No.
Because Samson had something special that God had given him.
Because he was
superhuman strength.
His gift was strength.
Right.
Okay.
But if you ever watch these guys on this strongest man contest, they have to pick up these stones that are 200 pounds to 240, 250 pounds, and they pick up the 200 pound one and they have to put it on a platform this high, and then they go to 210 pounds and it's a little bit higher, and 220 pounds a little bit higher. By the time they get to that 250, 260 pound stone that they have to pick up chin high, most of them can't get it there. And these are the strongest guys in the world, but you look at them, I mean, they're as thick as they are wide. Their legs are like this. You know, and you've probably seen the guy with his teeth and a chain, and he's pulling a tractor trailer down the road and those kind of. You don't ask where those guys' strength comes from, because it's not a guy that looks like me. These guys are huge. And here's Samson. His strength came from an invisible source. Samson was careless and he was reckless. Oh, I'm sorry, Ben. Yeah, I skipped you.
I understand where you're coming from. And I see what you're saying. But I think they were responding to what they've seen besides him. All right, so he could have been a strong guy, but none of the strong guys you're talking about is picking up the gate and the post and carrying it 40 miles to another area.
Right.
Nobody is doing that. Nobody's killing, hey, let's kill 1,000 guys with a jawbone. Nobody's doing that. You know, so it's like this you know, if he could have been strong, but it doesn't matter how strong he was. He wasn't doing these other things ever.
Right.
And I think one of these big football players, hey, we got a lion over here. Want to match up? No. I don't think they're going to go for it.
But you know, David.
Yeah.
David killed a lion, and he killed a bear.
Yeah. At least one time he killed a giant.
Yeah. And he probably didn't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger either.
He just been trying.
Yeah.
Mark?
Yes. Yes, I think it may have been their arrogance to a certain extent.
But he used it, whatever it was.
Yeah, and however he performed that task, God worked it to his glory.
We don't know how long he was, like once they took his eyes and we have no idea how long that was.
No. All we know is that from the time God raised him up as a judge until he died, it was 20 years.
Okay.
And
so,
the other thing, said something like the Philistines trotted him out to display his power after they had him blinded and enchained him. I really wouldn't think that, because I think if they knew that he was strong again, they wouldn't have let him come this time
right.
to do what they did. I think they had no idea how strong he was becoming, or that he was even stronger than when they put him in chains and blinded him.
Right.
I think they thought he was still there, and it was just, see, we have power because look at here, he can't do anything.
I agree.
I think that's where they are coming from. I don't think they were showing his power to everybody else. I think they were showing their power.
Over him.
And that's what I was thinking, too, about him, how long it was, because there's also the part of he was beaten down. I mean, after that happened, you got to imagine he's human. So he went through this, He as a man, he was beaten down. Like, what am I? What happened? Like, he had to question himself. So you don't know how long he was kept to where he didn't believe in himself at all, you know, at some point.
And like I said, at some point, he cries out to God and say, okay, God, you got to help me. I don't know, you know, I'm as low as I can get. You know, God's got to get us to a low point, all of us. He's got to get everyone, either through the scriptures, through circumstances or otherwise, he's got to bring you to a place where you realize that you don't have anything without him. And that's when people call on the name of the Lord, obey the gospel, and realize, I can't take care of my own sins. I can't buy a ticket to heaven. I don't have enough money for that. You know, whatever it is in your life, you realize, I can't get to heaven on my own strength. I can't save myself. I can't get rid of my sins. There's nothing I can do of myself. And some people, it doesn't take long to get them to that point. Other people, they got to be flat on their backs in the bottom of a well before they get to that point that they realize that God is my only hope. And Samson was one of those guys. He had to be flat on his back in the bottom of the well before he finally got there. He lost his sight. He lost his God. He lost all of that. Bill?
I was going to say, God didn't have to answer his prayer and give him the strength, even though he asked for it, because it had to be God's will.
Absolutely.
You look at the Israelites, and they saw the promised land, but because of their sin, God said, no, you're not going in. They repented, and they tried everything to say, we're sorry, we want to get in there. That wasn't going to work.
That's
so
right.
It had to be God's will for the strength to be returned to him, not just because he asked for it.
That's right. That's right. And ultimately, that's where it comes from. Yeah, no doubt. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say that, like, they didn't, I think they were more ignorant than arrogant, because they also didn't understand, like, who God is. Like, once their shrine and stuff broke, it was gone. And so they didn't, you can't worship something that's, like, replaceable and not know about the repentant heart and stuff and think that, oh, well, his hair growing back, you know, once it's cut off, it's gone. Like, it's gone.
Sure.
And so this is definitely, and that I agree with Bill, like, God did not have to answer.
No, he didn't.
Even just Samson calling out and asking for just one more is just such a repentant type call out. But yeah, like, I think it's more, it doesn't really matter the time between when, you know, whatever, because they were never going to understand.
Sure.
They just assumed that they got it done. Even if it's
there,
go back. Well, they're used to shrines breaking and being done. So,
stop. Okay. Now, one of the things that we've got to be aware of, and we need to wrap this up real quick and turn things over to Mike here in just a moment. Some of God's greatest servants have been won back from backsliding. I want you to think about that. How about John Mark? John Mark abandoned Paul and Barnabas on their missionary trip. And Paul decides, we need to go back and encourage all these churches that we started. And Barnabas goes, I want to bring John Mark. And he says, no way. So we end up with two mission teams. We end up with Paul and Silas and Barnabas and John Mark going out. In the last letter that we have in our Bibles recorded by Paul, 2 Timothy. Remember, I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. I'm getting ready to give my life over. He mentions to Timothy, writing to Timothy, bring John Mark with you. He has become useful to me. John Mark also is the human instrument for the Gospel of Mark after his backsliding. So you can see, this is not just an Old Testament situation where somebody falls back. There are many stories in the Scripture where people fall away and come back. They find themselves slipping away from God and then finding their way back to God and become mighty servants for him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God is not slack concerning his promise. That's the promise of Jesus' return under consideration there. As some count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He could have had the Philistines kill Samson, but he gave him time to repent, time to bring himself back into a right relationship with God. We don't know when that point was, but we know it was some point prior to him stepping up to take that temple down. And he got back in a right relationship with God to the point that the Hebrew writer is inspired to include Samson in the by faith chapter. The just shall live by faith. You look at the majority of the recorded life of Samson that we have, and we don't see that guy. Even when he is judging, we don't see that guy. He is unhinged. But at some point, and again, going back to Drew's comment, we don't know how long he was imprisoned, but he became a true servant of God during that time. And he's included in the by faith. In repentance, Samson accepted what God had said, he trusted in what God had said, and he acted upon what God had said. And he's numbered among the righteous ones in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Right there alongside Abraham and Joseph and all the rest. There's Samson. There's hope for us. Just like there was hope for him. Let's go ahead and turn things over to Mike and we'll be dismissed.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for being able to come here for another Lord's Day and have be able to do this in peace and have fellowship one with another. We ask, Lord, that you'd be with Zena Dampier's mom with her blood infection and Zena Dampier's stepmom, who will be going into hospital this week for a triple bypass surgery on Thursday. I ask that you'd be with Mary Lou Binky, leaving Wednesday for Zambia on a mission trip, and that they would be very successful there. Be with John McCadness, the father of Laurel Childs. We've been having three stents put in this week, and be with him and make sure he recovers very well. I ask that you be with Pat Reed and the broken bone in her foot, and Ruby Lee Horn, the soreness in her feet, that you give them comfort and relief there. Also be with Angela Jonas as she travels this week into Italy. Be with Rodney Powers and the relief in his back pain. Emmy Polk and the stroke recovery that she's had. And Eddie Niederhoff on the prostate cancer treatment that would be successful and cure his cancer there. Also, we pray, Lord, for Sharon Suggs' great niece who had a baby this week, who's 32 weeks premature, and pray for them and the family. That should be with Matt and Missy Dobbs and their kids as they travel to Uganda on a mission trip. They'll be also successful there and be able to spread your word there. Also be with all those who are in recovery for endurance and dependence there, and have the power of Jesus to help them out there. Also ask, Lord, that you be with my mom, with her broken leg, and that would give her comfort from her pain. My dad from being in the hospital this week with his lung and heart issues. Lord, we'd ask you to be with Mark and his safe travels to Washington this week, and we're having a great seminar, and give him safe travels back to us, so we'll be back next week. Ask you, Lord, to be with us the rest of this day and throughout this week, and pray, Lord, that you give us guidance and comfort for all these things we ask, Lord. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.